Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and I am joined by Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, we're diving into the second half of November with today's show, and we're talking about pre-qualifying your client fit. The subtitle here says a preliminary and exploratory conversation, which, by the way, Sherry, I really do like that because it does take some thought and some planning to really decide who that ideal client fit is for you.
Yes. It also takes courage, which is the reason we did the previous 2 weeks worth of work to build our resilience, our robustness, our basic knowing where we stand on our foundation. Because during this session, we'll talk about the courageous act of really truthful conversations. The way to turn these conversations both into an exploration and an adventure, and to end in a good place no matter what. So as a result of today, we want to talk about the preliminaries that you can go through together with a potential client in order to pre-test kind of what the water is going to be for both of you, and to come through it in a very short exchange. It can very easily be 15 to 30 minutes of real time, either by phone, connected directly by phone or in person, that will inform you if it is a real high likelihood that you two or you and the firm can work well together, or if you need to make an informed referral, or if you need to do some research for an informed referral for them from your discoveries. So either way, we're going to land at a good place to build a new alliance, but it may be some kind of a networking type alliance or a relationship alliance more so than actually the conversion of a potential client, you know, experience into a contract or an agreement. And then next session, we're actually going to talk about structuring how to co-draft the actual agreement if this all goes well and it does end up that there is a fit. So that's my goal for today. I'm going to take us through some steps. I will provide a written template for this for people who actually want to experiment with it.
You know, Sherry, a lot of times what we find is that sometimes when we're first getting started with business and we are just so gung-fire, hungry, ready to go for it, we'll take those projects that are not a good fit. And what that winds up doing is it winds up, number one, being a frustrating process for you and the project and the client. But number two, you also have to be concerned with reputation management. And if your client has a bad experience, well, they're going to share that bad experience. So sometimes, you know, holding off on what looks like a good financial opportunity because you know in your heart of hearts that it's not a good fit, but you're going to go for it because of the cash, is actually going to harm you in the long run. So really listening in and honing in on your pre-qualified client actually pays you big dividends in the long run.
Yeah, and so today what I want to provide is a structure of support for the owner or the company to be able to lower the risk, you know, of it turning out in a way that is not useful, because it can also be disappointing to someone who's already been referred to you, especially if multiple sources have referred them specifically to you, and you discover early on, though they already want to work with you, and they initiated the contact, for example, it may not be in your best interest, and we'll talk a little bit about why that is. But you can still convert it into an asset experience for both of you through working it knowing that it could have potential for relationship purposes in the future. So I'm going to start out with a series of steps And I want to give you just a tiny bit of an overview of what these are. There's kind of an icebreaker process in the beginning, and you can do this, by the way, by phone or by or in person. This is not advisable to try to do in email exchanges, though. That's different because you need the response from the other person to both inform you as to the next step and also to kind of build a bridge to the next step. So it's kind of a series of exchanges that are interactive. The first step is to start with an icebreaker, and in that, one of the very useful questions that you can ask, and it's really more of a request than a question, tell me something about how you came to this particular point in your life to make this contact. And we're assuming here that they did the outreach to us. And in my case, I specifically have found it incredibly helpful to ask why now, why this, and why not last year or next year for you? And how people respond to that is incredibly informative, sometimes to themselves. And, I mean, just in the exchange of that short little time frame, they can discover that there's more of an urgency around it for them than they thought. Or they give it a second thought and they realize that rather than trying to launch something in November, it really might be better for them to do it in January or in June. And you get off to a better footing no matter what you find out. And then if you're really super courageous in that first step, you may say, why me? Why, you know, Brewing Media versus XYZ, who you also know is, you know, in their proximity? And if you're courageous enough to ask that, they very well may tell you something that you don't know about what your reputation is, what your brand is, that you never intended it to be, but you might like it. And it's kind of a part of the beauty of this process is it's spontaneous all the way through. Though you'll have a structure going into it, what you do with that structure is going to be invented together in the conversation and the exchange with the other every step of the way. So does this make sense to you, Jennifer, that we would start with something that you don't know but that you want to know? Ask the business.
Yeah, actually, it really does. And interestingly enough, I think one of the things too is that sometimes so in this scenario, folks are already pre-qualifying themselves in a way because they're approaching you. So we're not talking about a cold market where you're going out and looking for business. This is business that's looking for you. And sometimes
right.
They have their own agenda. Well, actually, always they have their own agenda, and they may be in such a fire to get started that they're like, we want this to start in, you know, 2 days, 3 days, next week. And you haven't gone through the process of really identifying exactly what they want in the way
right.
that you can meet that need. And so you kind of have to slow their roll. And it's kind of an
yeah.
awkward thing because they're ready to roll. They're ready to sign on the dotted line. They're ready to write you a check. But if you don't take the time to pause and really
right.
identify these pieces, you're going to be putting yourself and themselves in a situation where you haven't taken the time to really, you know, if it's the scope of work, if it's, you know, expectations, if it's timelines, make sure that's really clear when you have a client that's ready to, what is that, shut up and take my money kind of a thing. You've got to tell them to pause and go through the process because it's going to be worth it to both of you to do that.
Right. Well, and what you've referenced in step one actually is the very beginning of the building of trust between the two of you. If you are thoughtful enough to want to take care of their well-being from the very, very beginning, even before they're thinking about that or when they're not thinking about that, they are automatically going to trust taking the next step with you, whatever that is. You may discover in this early on exchange, this is a person possibly to do a short-term project with to test the wheels, to kind of like feel how it feels to work together, and to give them a little bit of a pilot chance, put them on pilot, so to speak. They would not necessarily know that, but you can make that decision when you actually do get to the co-drafting of the agreement that you would do for something very short-term, maybe that can be done in and 1 month, whereas your usual co-drafting of an agreement would be with the understanding that both of you are on board for a longer period of time, sometime more extensive. In my case, it's usually 4 to 6 months for us to do a full exploration of what they come in for initially and to accomplish that and then to evolve it, you know, from there, one way or the other. So that's step one. And you just led us very naturally into step two. In step two, if all has gone fairly well, either to the extent to know that you want to continue exploring with this potential client fit, at step two, you get to the really important issues that were the stimulus or the challenge, you know, that brought them to you. So you want to find out really early on what those most important issues or one single one for them is, and if it catches your interest, and if it's also something you're highly qualified and you and your team are highly qualified to do. And is this going to be a pleasure? You've already begun to ask yourself that, and a new learning experience, you know, an adventure for you. And so one of the things you can do at stage two is as they begin to unfold, you know, what their most significant reasons for contacting you are, is to ask them to be real specific about that. If there were three things you could accomplish or change or initiate in the next 90 days, could you name at least two of those? And that gives them an opportunity to think a little longer term than what they might initially. And also, it lets them know that you're serious about building something together one way or another, and that at the very least, the two of you will end the conversation either at that step with a lot more clarity than you had in the beginning, or it will be your cue to go to step three with them.
You know, I think that's so important because it's tough. It's really tough sometimes to make those calls, but it seems like the more seasoned you are and the more confident you are in your business, it's not as challenging because you know the process and you know that it works. And when you're first getting started in this process, if you're shifting to being more thoughtful about the kind of clientele that you take into your business, it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel awkward to take this extra time and to really fine-tune your business base. But it is well worth it, I promise you.
Yeah, I promise that too. And who it's going to be most uncomfortable for might be people who have been trained to go for pain, identify the pain. Because what you're actually identifying is what it is you're going to build into the future upon foundationally. And pain tends to get alleviated really quickly. You can get quick contracts, quick cash flow, so to speak, with dealing with pain. But you're kind of out of the picture, and so is your company, as soon as the pain is resolved. So it's like you don't call your insurance agent just exploratorily very often once you have an insurance agent. You call them when there's a problem. You don't want to be the problem person, even if you're good at it, because that just makes more problems brought to you. So step three, let's assume that together you have both decided by this point that of those two or three things that they most want to shift, create, or change, you're a good candidate as a fit for them. So step three is going to take us into some boundary discovery. So it's important to know in terms of what some of the most important things are to them. And I actually am going to have this conversation on Friday with someone who has wanted us to work together since we met in Houston before 2002. And we are just now in 2017, toward the end of it, probably going to come up with a formal agreement, if not Friday, next week. And there's a lot of reason for that. But she has re-landed now, you know, at my door. We both live in Austin now. And so these are some of the things I'm going to be talking with her about. She's a servant leader type personality. And so they're very fitting questions for her. But what you want to discover in step three around more personalized kind of boundary issues for this potential client is to uncover Is there anything we want to do together that may put you further into integrity, the kind of integrity stand you take for your business, or is there anything that might impinge on that? And then you want to ask the same type of thing about a value. Is there a particular value in the process of how we do this that you want to make sure continues to stay honored? And when you start talking about competition and strategic plans for marketing and outreach, or how far you're going to go in overpromising or overselling, depending on what it is that they are coming in to you to ask for help to do, this is where you would explore where they kind of stand on issues around needs and values, but mostly integrity. And I have been asked, for example, I'm often asked by startups to help them flip a company. That would take me out of integrity. I don't help people build companies to flip them out from under the client base or the industry just because they want to sell them to Silicon Valley. And I took that stand a long, long time ago, and I make a referral 100% of the time in that case, because even though I understand the principle and the business value in that, it's not a personal value I hold for the client base that they want to develop to then abandon them. And that's just a personal bias, and I have to declare that early on. And it shocks people because I do a lot of work in the startup community, and even though startups fail probably close to 99% of the time in flipping a company, a lot of them have an aspiration to try to do that. So I don't know where you draw your boundary, Jennifer, but I know that you probably could tell me that. So if you want to comment on that, do so, and if not, okay?
Yeah, so I think for me, I've always been, for the most part, someone who likes to train for things. And so my whole thing was, I'm not going to be you, but I'm going to train you how to use the social platforms, use the tools, do the things, handle crisis, know how to respond in any given situation. And my whole goal was to let them fly and be free, and so that they could, you know, be the space, because I'm of the boots on the ground mentality. And so for the most part, when those kinds of business opportunities, and I get referred that, you know, here and there, and when those kinds of referrals come my way, I explain my business and work process. And these are folks who do not want to learn it. They don't want to own it. They don't want it. They know they need to do it, but they don't want to be part of it because that's just not their interest. They want to find
They want it done.
So I say, well, I'm not your person, but I can refer you to these other professionals that are. They love doing that kind of stuff. Now, I have made exceptions, but that was because I was brought in as a team member, as if I were part of the team. And so I was, you know, in weekly calls, and I was at events, I was part of the process. And in that way, I was boots on the ground. I was living and breathing in the space. And in that way, I could represent the brand well because I was part of what was going on in a way. But I do have that fine line of, I'm not going to be you unless I can, for the most part, almost be you, because I can't tell that story unless I'm the boots on the ground for that story. So that's kind of been my line, and I feel very comfortable with that line and have run my business that way, and it's worked well for me.
Right. Okay. That makes perfect sense. Well, that leads us to step four. Naturally, once you discover what some of the personal boundary issues might be, either for you or for the potential client, step four is about asking what's called the ouch question. Like, at what point does it hurt? And in my case, the ask question, I am uncomfortable working with people where my fee, which does vary according to what it is they want to do and how frequently we're going to be meeting and how much time we're going to need to spend together and what is it that I can contribute from outside those one-on-one or with group meetings. And so I have to make sure that people can actually comfortably fit this, my fee, into whatever that's going to be, into their business. And we do kind of co-negotiate sometime what that is. And there are ways to cut corners off that. There are ways to add to it. So one of the things I want to know is this an affordable, feasible option for them at this point in time with their whatever their life stage and life phase is in terms of family, and like if it's a single mom, for example, it may be different, you know, especially a single mom with a special needs child or a single mom with a private school tuition or something like that that's already going to be, you know, part of their business life there. So the goal in step five and step four, which is the ouch question, is to try to discover any unfinished business or difficult areas that the client would normally not even bring up unless you ask directly, and this requires a little courage. So in my case, because a lot of my clients are go-to people for other people, they're in their kind of servant leader typology or, you know, type of personality, I have to ask them, is there room at this point in time in your life for us to take this on, or is something else running you more than you're running it? Because I'm going to need some time together. I'm also going to give some field work that's going to take some time. And most of my people, what they're most short of is personal flexibility. So that for me is the arena of the ouch question. You may have to ask if they want the affordability at this point in time of the various additions that they need if they're going to do a social media campaign, or if they're going to need extensive, you know, high color printing, or the setup, the equipment, the tools, the people to do the post, all the various things that relate to your business could generate the kind of ouch questions that you need to ask, and you need to become willing to ask them. Because we're going to run out of time, we'll merge show number 15, which is today, and show number 16, and extend with that. But I'm going to give the overview right now for what the next are. The next step five is planting the seed of how we're both going to best take care of the ongoing relationship if we do pursue this. And then we have to find out, you know, how they best take care of themselves through this, because the time you're going to need with them is going to take it away from something. How have they made arrangements for that? Step six is the mutual commitment that you're both agreeing to make and exploring exactly what that is. The seventh step is getting to the financials. By that time, that's going to become a much more comfortable conversation than it typically will, because you'll have all this other you've already built upon. And all this can happen really and easily in a 30 to 45 minute exchange. And then to refocus at step eight, back on the values and the whole purposefulness of the client coming into you to the beginning, and that's the conversation about success and how is this going to make things different for you if we were to be able to guarantee high success in working together. What would that give you that you don't have yet, or that you want that you didn't think was possible? And then there's a process check if there's anything else for step nine. And ultimately, we're going to discover when they're ready. And that's about a declaration of what is the timing that's going to work best for the two of you. And you get to negotiate that just as they do. And so in session number 16, we're actually going to get to the point of either making the referral successfully, or which is informed and a benefit to them, even if the fit is not right for the two of you, or how do you get on to actually starting to co-draft what the agreement ends up being.
You know, Sherry, I have to say that when you talked about the idea of success, that one piece, if you did nothing else but make sure that you and your client are on the same page for identifying what success is, and that's called KPI, right? You know, the key performance, right, indication, right? So what, at the end of the day, after we're done with this project, if we accomplish X, is that your idea of success for this project? And having that very clearly identified makes the biggest difference in the world as projects move. Because as your project moves forward for whatever timeline it is, things will shift. It is always good to refer back to that to make sure that that is still the case, which is something that I do with my clients is I'll go back and go, okay, remember when we first started, we talked about how this was the KPI, the key performance indicator. Is this still the case? Is this still true, or do we need to adjust this? And as long as you constantly refer back to that and you meet that goal, then you can check off the box that you met success. And if you overshadow that and do even better, great. But if you do at least that, then you can mark that project as a success.
Right. And we'll talk about that more next show. But the beauty of this process is there's always time to renegotiate the elements and the details of it. And that's part of building the bond between you for it to eventually become a sustainable, ongoing client relationship that might even have starts and stops and breaks, but it always will return and you will have built a very, very solid relationship one way or another by the end of your set of exchanges doing business together. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, that leads us into the end of day of our 15th episode. And, of course, on tomorrow's show, we're going to be talking about client agreements, the art and science of crafting those and crafting them in a way that makes everyone happy. Is that right, Sherry?
That's right. Yes, there is a way. We'll step into it.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.